All right, we're holding at the bottom of Chafe on the bays by the last two dots. And we said in the Mishnah that a person is chayav a chatos or an osham for something that they did definitely, a shogig or a mezid as the case may be, and they didn't bring it before Yom Kippur, they still have to bring it after Yom Kippur. And we learned yesterday how exactly we learned that. We had Rav Dimi's way of learning it, which Abaya asked on, and then he brought a different way. Although, as the Gemara is going to mention in a minute, both of them, the fact of the matter is there is a bit of a doichik in both of them. So we're going to have another way. Well, because we said in Rav Dimi's way, you had, in the original way, in Abaya's way, rather, you had Rav Dimi's question that if he's learning from Veskol Eskol Avonis, well, Rav Dimi himself had said, we learn from what it says by the Sur Lashem, Umipish Ehem Lachol HaToysam. But Abaya asked him that one is only talking about the Sur Anasibasnim, about the Sur Lashem. Maybe the Sur Lazazel was able to accomplish more than that. So Abaya uses that. Including the ones where a person is chayav a carbon. So then Abaya himself gave a limud from Eskol Avonis B'nei Yisrael V'Eskol Pishayim L'chol HaTorisim that it says by the Sur La'azazel. But we ask them that the fact of the matter is there are some choyim that do involve a carbon. So we ended up saying, okay, you could say that it didn't have to say the word pshoyim in the pasuk, and therefore it's available, and therefore we can learn from it, but it's still a little, yeah. The Mishnah had continued. Hold on. We said in the Mishnah that people who are chayiv and osham tolui, if they didn't bring it before Yom Kippur, they don't have to bring it after Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is machata for them. So menahani mili, where do we know that from? Asham esloin. Amar of Elazar, Amakra, because the pasuk says mikol chateisechem lefnei Hashem v'gomer, the famous pasuk mikol chateisechem lefnei Hashem titaru, from all of your averus before Hashem you will be cleansed, which means what does it mean lefnei Hashem chet she'ein makibay elah hamakim, an avera which only Hashem knows, meaning the person himself doesn't know whether he actually did it because he doesn't know whether he ate chaylov or whether he ate truman or whatever. That's the point. So therefore, that kind you have to put a machaper. So the pasuk is telling us therefore that Yom Kippur is machaper for such a thing. Amr of Tachlifa Avud. So that's Rav Elazar saying that that's what the pasuk is saying. Amr of Tachlifa Avud Rav Huna by Tachlifa Mishmei de Rava. So Rav Tachlifa, the father of Rav Huna, says in the name of Rava, in that case, once we have that limud, Kadmai Sanami, then the earlier thing that we said about the people who are Chayav, Achatas, or an Oshem Vadai, Nami Le Tasi Le Mifshite, then you don't have to go and try to figure out how to learn that they're chayiv in it after Yom Kippur. You're not going to need Rav Dimi's way of learning it. You're not going to need Abaya's way of learning it, because the fact of the matter is both of them are doichik. Ela meha. Rather, Rav Tachlifa is saying that actually now that we have this pasuk, we're able to use it for this purpose also, namely ela meha. We can do like this. We figure like this. An avera, which only Hashem knows that the person did it, because Hashem knows whether what he ate is chaylev or shuman, that kind, we said, Yom Kippur is machapas. Mikol chateseichem lefnei Hashem. That is a chet that's only known before Hashem. That's what it means. Chet she'ein makir by ela hamakim. No, that's what we just said. A chet that only Hashem recognizes that he did it. The person himself doesn't know, because he doesn't know if he ate chaylev or shuman. So we're saying, therefore, that chet she'en makir by ela hamakim yemek tepura mechaper, that a chet that only Hashem knows that kind Yom Kippur is mechaper, u'mina, well, Rav Tachlifa says, now that we have that, we can also infer from that as follows. Chet she'en makir by ela hamakim hu yemek tepura mechaper, when only Hashem knows whether he did it or not, then Yom Kippur is mechaper, implying avol d'yada v'aloi mechaper, implying that if somebody else does know about it, then it's not mechaper. So that's an easier way of learning the point that we were discussing yesterday, that if he's chayv achatas or an asham vadeh, meaning that he knows that he did the avera, then Yom Kippur is not mechaper for it, and he needs to bring it.
Okay. It says, the
pasuk
says, Mikol
chatoteh. Yeah. So it means any chatois, which are only before Hashem, meaning only Hashem knows whether he did the chatoteh. Mikol chateseichem, from all of your chatois, which are of the category, lifnei Hashem, that they're known only to Hashem. Okay. Yeah, that's what it means. Okay. But Amr of Tachlifa, I mean, there's other things we learned from that pasuk also. There's other drashas. There's the famous thing at the end of Yomah that Aveir is not a Machaberi, Yom Kippur is not Machaper until the person asks Mechila from somebody else. Yeah, well, no, it's not so much because it's known, because the pasuk is the same thing would apply even if the other guy doesn't know about it. Let's say Reuven stole from Shimon, and Shimon doesn't know that it was Reuven who stole from him, but still, that's a different limit. Oh, fine. Here's another din that here's another din in this connection. Yeah, also from a tachlipa. Chayovi malchus over alein yemek aporim chayev. Suppose a person did something that makes him chayev malchus, namely he did one of these averas, or any lav for that most lavim whatever b'mezid, and he's chayev malchus. And if Yom Kippur passed chayev, he's still chayev malchus. We don't say that Yom Kippur takes away the chiyuv of malchus. So the question is, Peter, well, not obvious. Why would it be any different from the case where a person has chayev a chatas or an osham badai? There we say he has to bring it out of Yom Kippur. Malchus, of course, is the same thing. Why does Rav Chalifa need to tell us that? The answer is sakdat hamina hosam mamonu. Because you could argue in that case, okay, it's money. Fine, we're going to still, he owes money. He owes a certain monetary amount to Hashem. So since he's able to pay it off, therefore we can't say that Yom Kippur should be mechaper for that. Aval hacha de gufahu. Here we're talking about something that's going to affect his own goof, that he himself is going to get fetched. Emalo, you would think maybe not. Maybe Yom Kippur takes that away. Kamash malon, and that is what Reb Chalifa wants to tell us then. Okay. So the question is, v'ha nantanan, what do you mean that Yom Kippur is not mechaper for something that makes a person chayev malchus? V'ha nantanan, we learn in a Mishnah in Shavuos, when it talks about the various korbanos of Yom Kippur, what is mechaper for what averus, it says there that, in particular, that the sorer al azazel is mechaper, hoida v'loi hoida, esta v'loi esta. It's mechaper whether the person knows he did the avera or doesn't know he did it, whether it was an esther, whether it was a lois esther. So we're talking about something the person knows he did, because he's chayav malchus. Why would we say, apparently it seems the sorer mashalach takes care of it. So why indeed is he chayav malchus?
This is when it's on Yom Kippur.
On Yom Kippur, the sorer lazazel, when it's pushed off the cliff over there.
And that's what we say.
Yeah. Lahoda v'lahoda. But the answer is, that's the question. The answer is, loikasha, hod astrubei, hod lai astrubei. It's a difference, did they give him asra or not? If they gave him asura, such that he is in fact chayev malchus, then Yom Kippur is not mechaper for that. He still needs to go through the malchus. If they didn't give him asura, so yes, you can have the person did a hoida, he knows he did an avera, even he did it purposely, but there were no edim, there was no asura, whatever it is, then the sarah lazazel will be mechaper.
In a way, you're saying he did not know completely because he didn't have asura.
Well, I guess you could say that, yeah, in a certain maybe in a certain sense that's valid, yeah, because asura is meant to be lahabchen min shayvig lemezid. So yeah, it could be. Okay. All right, so the question is like this. Okay, so fine. So somebody who's chayv malchus has to bring him after Yom Kippur. But what about now? So we're saying so far like this. Somebody who's chayv a chatas or an osham for something vadai, then they have to bring it after Yom Kippur. Somebody who's chayv one that's only a sopik not, and we're saying because it says mikoch hatesechem lifnei Hashem zitaru. So any chet, where only Hashem knows the truth, whether he's chayv in it or not, then he's potter after Yom Kippur. So, Elameata, by that logic, let's consider a number of cases. Simon Yerledes, Mitzoda, Nozir, Soita, Be'egla. We're going to go through five possibilities where we see that something has to be done after Yom Kippur, when there was a suffix, and why should that be? Number one, suffix Yerledes, Sha'over Aleh Yom Kippurim. A suffix of a woman who has a suffix, whether what she gave birth or miscarried is something that makes her chayev in a korban, as we've learned several times in the Masechta. Where she?
What's the avera?
And that's what we're going to get to. Wait. So the question is, over all the Yom Kippurim, if Yom Kippur passed and she hadn't yet brought her korbanos, why should she have to bring it? Loi taisi, she should not have to bring her chata sa'oif for a sofik, a dog keeper all the Yom Kippurim. Because after all, shouldn't Yom Kippur have been mechaper? Dechet chain makir by elam makim. After all, it's a case where only Hashem knows the truth, whether she's chayev or not. So then Yom Kippur, according to Rav Chalifa's logic, then it should be mechaper. The answer is, Amar of Hoshia, L'chocha toysam l'chocha tum oysam. True, but earlier in the pasuk says that Yom Kippur is mechaper for all their chatois, implying but not for all their tumois. So the chatas ha'oif that Yerledes brings has to do with the tumah that she had, the tumas Yerledes that she had.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not really that type of chatas. In other words, essentially, as we've learned before, it's a machshir more than a machaper. It's making that she's going to afterward, that she's now going to have, going to completely be rid of her truma and be able to enter the Beis Mikdash and be able to eat korbanos. So it's basically meant for the purpose of removing truma. That's not the kind of thing that Yom Kippur takes care of. Okay, so the question is, Reb Shimon ben Yochai, d'amar Yerledes chaytayasi. What about what would we do according to Reb Shimon ben Yochai's opinion? He says that in Masechta Nida that a Yerledes, hold on, he says that a Yerledes brings a chatas because to a certain degree she is considered a chaytayas in the sense that the Gemara explains in Nida at the end of the third parak over there. So they ask Reb Shimon ben Yochai why she has to bring a chatas. So he says because It often happens when a woman is giving birth and she's in the throes of labor, she swears, I'm never again going to have relations with my husband. And what happens afterwards? She does go and have relations with him again, because afterwards she forgets about it and whatever. So therefore, like in a certain
sense... Only when she's allowed
to do that all the time. Okay, the point being, in other words, that therefore, in a certain sense, he considers her as a chaytes. It's very likely that she was over on a shvur. So according to him, it is... doesn't matter. Most chataris are b'shgarga. Most chataris are b'shgarga. So then, in that case, so according to him, my ikal mema, what are you going to say according to him? It's a chatas for chet. It's a chet which only Hashem knows about, because she's not even sure that she did it. So why, according to him, should she have to bring it out to Yom Kippur? The answer is, even according to him, yeledes ki kamaisi korban. Fine, but after all, even according to him, true, there's a degree of chet in there, and that's why the Torah says to bring a chatas. But that's the point. But even if so, the fact of the matter is, that's not the fundamental reason why she's bringing the korban. Because now the Gemara's missing words over here, actually. So Rashi has the words. The point is that according to Rav Shimon ben Yochai would say. Shita Mukhabatis adds the words, Mitzara Machatala. Essentially, yes, Rav Shimon is going to say that maybe she was over on a Shavua. However, he's going to say that fundamentally what's Machatala for her for that is the birth pangs themselves, the pains of labor themselves. Now, when she's bringing the korban, Yeledes Ki Kamaisi Korban, the fact that she's bringing a korban, yes, there was a degree of chet, and that's why he says that's a time of dekra, a logical reason why the Torah would say she has to bring a chatas. But fundamentally, the reason is when she's bringing the korban, Lishdiri Bachilas Kodshimbu. It's fundamentally to allow her to eat Kodshimbu over Kapara Ma'is Masya. It's not essentially for Kapara, because again, she had the Kapara when she gave birth. That itself, the pains of labor itself, were the Kapara. So that's why she'd have to bring an Afian kibber, because it's not that type of carbon. Okay. Now the second one. What about we have so far only the first one. Yeledes. We have five of them to go through. Amar Rav Ashi Afanan Nami Tanena. Rav Ashi says, in fact, yeah, you can see it from the wording of our Mishnah. We said a woman who has an obligation for because of a sopik to bring a chatas oif, like a sopik yeladis, right? Yom Kippur passed and she hadn't yet brought it. Chayebis lahavi lacha Yom Kippurim. She has to bring it after Yom Kippur. Why? And the Mishnah spells out why. Because that korban makes it possible for her to eat korbanos. So we see the Mishnah by giving that reason is stressing that's the fundamental idea behind why she's bringing the korban, not so much because of a chet per se, even according to Rav Shimon ben Yochai, that's only kind of a secondary reason. The primary reason is because the machshir to allow her to eat kodshim, so therefore that's not included, that's not chatoisam, that's too awesome, and it doesn't say that Yom Kippur takes care of that. Okay. Next, Elamayata, Sopik Mitzora. Next, let's talk about the case where a person has a Sopik, whether they were a Mitzora. Sha'over, all of Yenach Reporim, same idea. Yom Kippur passed. You can have many cases where there's a Sopik Mitzora. For example, Rashi says you have, let's say, for example, we know that one of the things that makes a spot of tzaras to be definite tzaras, where he's mukhlat, is if there's white hair in it. So suppose, for example, that he has a spot of tzaras, he has white hair in it, but we don't know, nobody knows whether the white hair was there first and then the tzaras grew, or whether the tzaras came first and then the hair turned white. That would be one of many examples of sopik tzaras. So there's a lot of other examples. So suppose you have a sopik mitzora that Yom Kippur passed, loy maisi, he shouldn't have to bring his korbanos. Same idea, deha overal Yom Kippurim, Yom Kippur has passed, and Yom Ken was machapur for him, dechet chain makri b'el amokim, who after all, it's also a case where only Hashem knows the facts, whether the Gemara is assuming, again, like with, the Gemara is assuming, like it did with the Yeledes, that the fact that he's bringing chatas implies that there's a chet. And by the way, it didn't have to be that all these five questions were asked one after the other in the same Beit Medrash. They may well have been asked in different Bate Medrash, where each one came up with the same independent idea, and Rav Ashi put them together, right? Okay. So the answer is, Omer Rav Oshia, so Rav Oshia says, same answer. L'chol chatoisam, lo l'chol tomoisam. Same answer. Yom Kippur is machaper for chatos, not for truma. And here it's essentially a matter of truma. The question is that there is a chet involved. Well, Amr of Shmuel ben Achmeni, Amr of Yechanan, Rav Yonasan, really it's supposed to be. Al Zayin Dvarim Negoyim Boim. We learned in Erchin that there are seven things for which Negoyim come on a person. Simon Gagag Shal Shashlach. We had the list of them in Erchin. Gasus Aruach, Gilu Yarayis. What else was there?
Gagag
is Shashlach. Yeah, here let's see. Gilu Yarayis, Gasus Aruach. Gezel, Shvuas Shav, Shvichos Damim, Loshon Hara, is the first string, Shvichus Dami, yeah. Or actually, okay, Shvichus Dami, Shvichus Shav, whatever. Loshon Hara and Tsaras Ayin, being stingy. So whatever, the point is there are averus that a person did for which he gets tsaras. And the answer is, again, like before, Mitzorah, Ki Maisi, Lavla Kapara Maisi. Again, the answer is the Mitzorah is not fundamentally bringing for his Kapara, Eloli Shtirui, Bachelus Kodshim, who essentially, again, like with the Yeledis, the primary purpose of his Karbanis is to allow him to eat Kodshim. The Tsaras itself, the pains of the Tsaras that he went through itself is his Kapara. By the way, with the Yeledis and the Mitzorah, also Rabbeinu Gershom has a slightly different explanation. It's not just the pains of the birth and the Tsaras itself, it's also the period of Tumah that they had to undergo. 7 or 14 days for a woman, however long for a Mitzorah until he's healed. So that itself is a Kapara. And therefore, again, yes, there's a degree of Chet in there, and that's why he's bringing a Chatos, but fundamentally it's a Machshir rather than a Machapel. So it's not included. Okay. Elamayat, so let's try another one. Safik Nazir Sha'ava Olav Yom Kippurim, a person who's a Safik, whether he was a Nazir. And now, how do you have a person a Safik Nazir? So you can have, for example, that Rashi explains, we're not talking about a Safik whether he is a Nazir or not, because then actually Rashi brings from a Gemara in Nazir, from a Mishnah in Nazir, that says that then he's able to make a Tanai. He's able to bring the Korbanos and make a Tanai. If I was a Nazir, then these are the Korbanos for my Naziros, and if not, then I'm starting a new Naziros now. But no, what we mean by Safik Nazir is a Safik whether he became Tomei or not, which of course there could be many such possible cases. So a Safik Nazir, Sha'av all of Yom Kippurim, if Yom Kippur passed and he hadn't yet brought his Korbanos, Loi Maisi Korban, he shouldn't have to bring his Korbanos, Jehov Kippur Yom Kippurim. Again, you could argue Yom Kippur was Mechapra for him already. Dechet Chein Makabre Elam Makamu. Again, it's the kind of Chet, it's the kind of Chathos where Hashem knows the truth whether we actually have to bring it or not. So why would we, why should he have to bring it after Yom Kippur? It should fall under Rav Tachlifa's rule. The answer is Amar Rav Oshia, same thing. L'chol chatos v'lo l'chol tumah. Same thing when it says l'chol chatosam means that the Yom Kippur is not meant to stand in the place of things of tumah. And here it's a matter of he's bringing his korbanos because he was tumah. So the question is, a little belazim and a kafir. Okay, just like we had with the Yeledis, where we had Rav Shimon Yochai's opinion that there's a certain degree of chet over there because
it's
sure. It could happen that a person doesn't know whether he's tumah or not. So what about just the same way as we had by Yeledis, we had Rav Shimon saying that there's a degree of chet in there because of the shura. The same thing with Mitzora, where there's a degree of chet in there because it comes for one of seven averus. The same way, according to Rav Elazar ben Akafer, you have a similar thing with a nazir. I'm a nazir choytehu. He says that a nazir, to a certain extent, is considered a sinner because he deprived himself of wine, and then
that's
the Torah doesn't. Well, the point is that, in other words, in general, the Torah doesn't want a person to deprive himself of more than... Okay, so then he's doing it for his health. We're talking about...
Okay.
So here he's doing it. Here he's doing it for his ruchniyistik, a health, fine. But the fact of the matter is, Rav Elazar ben Akafer says, still, how did he get in that situation in the first place? Is, he went too far in one direction. Now he's having to apply a corrective. But still, it still would have been better if he didn't have to deprive himself of wine. So Michael Mamer. So according to Rav Elazar ben Akafer, what are you going to say? According to him, there is a chet involved. And again, the answer is like before, nazir ki maisi korban lav l'chapara maisi. Again, when the nazir brings his korban, it's not fundamentally for kapara. Even according to him, it is, after all, he's bringing it essentially to be machshir, right? L'shderui b'achilas kodshimu. So in parenthesis, the part in parenthesis over here, to be allowed to eat kodshim. So, that's Shittim Kubetis, and others take it out, that because a Nazir is allowed to eat Kodshim before that, when he's Tomei, he's not allowed to eat Kodshim, fine, but once he becomes Tahor from his Tumas Nes, he doesn't specifically need to eat, to bring a Korban in order to eat Kodshim. What he needs the Korban, Elul Meichel, all of Naziris Tarah. It's fundamentally to allow him to restart his Naziris Tarah. So it's more of a Machshir to allow him to do something that he couldn't do before, namely to restart his Naziris Tara, which eventually then he'll finish and bring his Korbanos Tara and be allowed to drink wine, etc., rather than for a Kapara.
So it
has a degree of Kapara in it, but it's not fundamentally for Kapara, and therefore it can still fall under Rav Oshia's rule that it's not L'chol Chatos. Elameata, so now let's try number four. Sofik soita sha'obra ala Yom Kippurim. Suppose you have a case of a sofik of a soita, which actually doesn't just mean a soita, Rashi explains, means any soita. The fact of the matter is, when you have a soita, by definition, there's a sofik. Was she mizana, was she not?
She doesn't have a sofik.
We'll talk about that in a second. Sha'obra ala Yom Kippurim. So if Yom Kippur passed and the korban and then the meat sota have not been administered yet, and the korban hasn't been brought, loy taisi, she should not have to bring the minchas knois, the mincha of the sota, the kippur al lo yom kippurim, because yom kippur should have been machapakur, the chet chain makriboy el amokim, because isn't it the case of an avera where only Hashem knows the fact? Rav Hoshea. So again, Rav Hoshea uses the answer. Same answer as before, that here it's a matter of Truma. However, here we have other answers. Here, in the first three, we had only Rav Hoshea's answer. We didn't have anybody else's. Now we have other answers. Omer Abaya boil Makir Boy. Sabaya, Abaya Omer, whatever, boil Makir Boy. The fact is, boil, the one, if she was actually Mizana, then the one who had relations with her knows. And for that matter, that could also include her herself, of course. Now, it doesn't necessarily, in fact, some of the Akronim talk about, you could have, for example, where she genuinely has a suffix. For example, she knows that she had relations with somebody, but she's not sure if it was the boil or her husband. She could have been unconscious. So you have that. I mean, remember, all you need to have is that her husband warned her, don't be alone with this guy, and then she was alone with him. What happened after that? It's possible that she was unconscious or otherwise unaware what exactly happened.
The mistake is not because she was just alone with him, it's because...
Well, because it's possible that she may have been Mizana with him, right? And that's what the Mei Sota is supposed to check. Fine. But the fact of the matter is, it could happen that she herself has a suffix. There's a different answer also that some of the Acharonim give, which is, since after all, fundamentally, the question, what is the Mei Sota meant to accomplish, is to be matter her to her husband. So in a certain sense, she herself is the Chaticha de Isura. She herself is the object of Isur, which we have to see whether it can be mutter or not. So whether she knows or not is kind of neither here nor there. What's important is whether the other party knows, and Sabaya is saying, okay, well, the other party, the boil knows. Yeah.
If he did it,
he knows. If he's
drunk,
in Kishuel or Adas, whatever, fine. In general, the boil is going to know. Anyway. But maybe that's why Rava needs a different answer. Rava Amas Sota Kimasya Lavara Oven Kasya. Rava says that after all, when the Sota brings the carbon, it's not fundamentally for the Chet, it's more for the purpose of figuring out. It's not so much Lachaper, but Lavara Oven. It's fundamentally in order to clarify, was the Aveira done or not? And therefore, is she going to drink the May Sota and explode or not? So it's not really as a kapara per se. So that's why she has to bring it up.
Ever happened that she exploded and she didn't do anything?
No, if she didn't do anything, then she wouldn't explode. The whole point is that it's meant to be only if nitzma of a tumah malbish, if she became tame and betrayed her husband, then yeah. Ela mayata. Okay, now let's try case number 5. What about Egla Arufa, Sha'ba Ela Yom HaKippurim B'chola? What about the Egla Arufa, which is also brought for a suffix? Because after all, you find a dead body over there. You don't know who the murderer is. So, and you're saying that the nearest city brings an Egla Arufa, so the whole thing is for a suffix. Why won't we say if they didn't bring it before Yom Kippur, they shouldn't have to afterwards, because it's a chet that only Hashem knows about. So Amar Abaya Horeg Master. Abaya says, same idea as before, but it's a boil. Whoever killed him knows the truth. It's not something that's known only to Hashem. Whoever did it actually knows that he did it. Rava Amar. Rava says, different answer. Amar Krava La Oretz La Yechupar La Dama Sheshupach Bavagun. The pasuk says the land will not be forgiven for the blood that was spilled in it, except the pasuk continues if the murderer himself is executed. So in other words, so the simple meaning of what Rava means is the pasuk is clearly saying the only way to be mechaper for a murderer is to execute the murderer. Therefore, you can't say that Yom Kippur should substitute for that. There's a couple of other explanations of what Rava means on that. One of them is
it's amazing we're talking about.
Well, yeah. But the one answer, Rabbeinu Gershom says a different explanation. The Egla Arufa is not fundamentally meant to be a kapara for the murderer himself. For him himself, the only kapara is for him to be executed, and that his death will be a kapara for his aveir. Rather, the Egla Arufa is meant to be machaka for the city that the body was found near. And because the city is responsible, because I think some of the Rishonim will talk about Taimei HaMitzvahs. I believe that Rambam says this, for example, say that usually people come from the nearest city, so therefore the likelihood is that the murderer came from that city.
So even if he came from the city,
because they should have such a person among them. And also there's the famous thing, why do the Zakenim have to announce that our hands didn't spill this blood and our eyes didn't see. They themselves obviously are not the murderers. It means that they're saying we didn't let this guy go without food or an escort or whatever. So therefore, like this, they bear a certain responsibility. That there was a dead body found nearby means that they didn't take care to make sure that every wayfarer who comes through their city has food and has somebody to protect him. So that's the point. No, because one possibility is what might have happened. Conceivably, he might have been short of food. Therefore, he attacked some traveler in order to steal some food, and the guy killed him in self-defense.
Okay,
such a thing could happen. The point remains, though, that the Torah says that because the body was found near the city, therefore the city needs kapara, because that such a thing could happen in their area. So therefore...
And the bodies that are found within the city, doesn't need a kapara?
No, well, if it's found within the city, that's another. Because the point is, the Torah, this and a number of other mitzvahs in the Torah are written for a society. You have to realize that it's meant to be for a society. The Torah's ideal society is one where murder is so rare that in the city it's a non-issue. You would never have, nobody would ever dare do something without Adim seeing it and then bringing him to justice. If it happened out in the field, then it would be such a rare thing that they would make this whole to-do about it. And actually, at the end of Sota, it says, for example, that towards the end of the second Mishnah, murders were starting to become more common. So the Sanhedrin at that time abolished the Eglah Arucha. The whole point of it is it's brought only when there's a suspect who the murderer is. And here, there's good reason. There's Raglayim Ladover already that it was one of the gangs in the area. Shabbat Passover, right? They can say that passively we're not going to do it anymore. But they're saying also the reason is because the criteria that are forward in the Torah no longer exist. The Torah's criteria are loy noida mihiko. There's no way of knowing who killed them. It could be anybody. And therefore we assume it's somebody from the nearest city. But in that time already you have. There were certain known gangs of Rotskim, and therefore the likelihood is it's one of them. Anyway, the point is, Rav Ben Gershom's understanding of Rava's answer is that the kapara is not for the murderer himself. The kapara is for the city, and that doesn't get taken care of by Yom Kippur. Yet another answer, I think the Sfas Emes says, is the kapara is meant to be for the land. You don't find that things to be mechapa for the land of Eretz Yisrael are taken care of by Yom Kippur. So that's Rava's answer. Rav Papa says a different answer. Oma kro kapar la'amcha Yisrael v'goymer. The Pasuk says that the Koyanim who are there by the Eglah Arufa have to stay. They ask Hashem, Kafir La'amcha Yisrael V'gomer, atone for your people, Yisrael. And the Pasuk continues, Kafir La'amcha Yisrael Hashem Podisa, that you redeemed. So why does it have to mention that Hashem redeemed the Jewish people from Mitzrayim? It means, Ru'uya Kapora Zush, Tachapra Al Yotze Mitzrayim. It means this Kapora is worthy to be Mechapra even on the people who left Mitzrayim. It has such a strong kapara that's even able to be mechaper for generations past. But the point is, Rashi says, so now consider. The point is, from Yetzias Mitzrayim until whenever in history this particular Eglah Arufa is taking place, hundreds of decades or centuries or whatever have passed, many Yom Kippurs have passed, and you see that the Avera is still out there. Therefore, so now when you bring an Eglah Arufa, it's mechaper for them. Therefore, obviously, from that alone, you see that Yom Kippur is not mechaper, correct? And therefore, you need to bring an Eglah Arufa, you're not Yom Kippur. Okay. So the Gemara says...
I can't believe that Eglah Arufa is stronger than Yom Kippur.
Okay, but that's what we're saying. It's the same thing as we're saying that a Chatas is stronger than Yom Kippur. It's the same thing we're saying all these things are stronger than Yom Kippur.
Chatas, you would understand...
Okay, but that's what it is. So we're saying, in other words, that an Eglah Arufa, we're saying for whatever reason, for any of these reasons, we're saying that the case of an unsolved murder is not taken care of by Yom Kippur. You need an Eglah Arufa. Okay. All right. So the Gemara says, Hashta de Amr Chet Shein Makir Ba'el Amokim Yom Kippur Machaper. Okay, so now let's consider it. We're saying that when the Chet is something that only Hashem knows about, then we're saying Yom Kippur is Mechaper. And that was the whole premise. That's why we're saying the person doesn't have to bring an Oshem Tolo, you have to Yom Kippur. Well then, let's ask like this. Eva kimis yadale bosi Yom Kippurim namu le maisi chatos. Maybe what should happen is, suppose it was a Vaday, but the person only found out about it after Yom Kippur. Why should he have to bring the carbon? So let's say he ate something. He didn't know at the time that it was Chelev, or that Chelev is Osir. Later on, after Yom Kippur, he finds out that it was. So at the time when Yom Kippur came, only Hashem knew that he had done the Avera. Why does he have to bring the Chatos?
Because he doesn't know.
Yeah.
Yom Kippur is
Mechatos. Yeah. So Rav Ze'era says you can't say that. Because you have three times when it talks about a chatas that a person brings, it mentions the concept that the person knows that they did the avera. It mentions it individually by the by. It mentions it by the individual person's chatas and by the king's chatas and by the chatas of the tzibur.
By the nasi.
But it says well, so the Gemara is listing it in order: yochid gabi chatas, which means the chatas of a yochid, the gabi nasi, the gabi tzibur. In the sukkim, they're actually in the opposite order. First, it mentions the tzibur, then the nasi, then the yochid. But whatever. The point is, each time it uses the expression oy hoyda elav, that they find out what they did wrong. Now, we don't need it to say by all of them. On the face of it, if it says by one of them, we could learn it as a mamasinu, as a binyan av to the other ones. Therefore, it must be teaching us, at least one of them, therefore, is extra in the pasuk. Therefore, it must be teaching us that whenever he finds out that he did the avera, even if it's at the impiper, he has to bring the chatas. So we would know from that. Okay, so the question is not necessarily.
The other one.
Well, so we would say, therefore, so if it's a chatas, if it's a chatas for a vaday, it doesn't matter whether he found out before Yom Kippur, oy hoida elav, as soon as he finds out, or benoida chatas, whatever the expression is in each of the individual cases, whenever they find out, they have to bring it, even if they only find out after Yom Kippur. However, the Gemara says, not necessarily. Shrichi, because not necessarily, because you could argue that actually all of them do need to be listed individually. You can't say that it should say Vinoida by one of them and we should learn to all of the other ones. We actually need it individually by each one of them. We can't learn one from the other. To eat Kosef Krog, Gabi Yochid, if the Pasuk can only mention this concept, Oy Hoida Elov, that as soon as he finds out, he has to bring the Korban and mention it only by a Yochid, Havamini, you would argue, Kulum Yochid Layaston, you can't learn the rest of them, the Nasi and the Sivir, from the Yochid, the Ikkel Mifrach, because if we tried to, we could slug it up. Malan Nasi Shekane Ein Bashmias Koil. I skipped the line. The Ikkel Mifrach, Malan Yochid Shekol Korban in a Keva. How could you compare? A yochid, whenever he brings a chatas, it's always a female animal, a female sheep or a female goat, as opposed to the nasi usually brings a well, not always. We're going to see as we go through. A nasi, okay, so it's like this. The yochid, regardless whether they have, now there's two categories. There can be where he did a regular aveda, many of the krisis that we learned at the beginning of the set, the Shabbos, Arayas, Chelev, et cetera, they bring either a female sheep or a female goat. If what he did was specifically Avodah Zarah, then he brings specifically a female goat.
So most of the cases, it's female.
So in the case of a yochid, it's always a female.
Always
but
female.
Either, okay. In most cases, it's a female sheep or goat. In the case of Avodah Zarah, it's a female goat only. Now, with a king, there's a difference. With the nasi, there's a difference. For most Averis, for most other Averis, again, Chelev, Shabbos, Arayas, etc., he would bring Davka a male goat. But if what he did was Avodah Zarah b'shoigig, then he would bring a female goat, same as the head.
Why?
That's how it is. That's what the Torah says. And then on the other hand, when it comes to the tzibur never brings a female animal as a korban. Their korbanos of the tzibur are always male animals.
So the nasi, the yachid.
So the yachid always brings females. The tzibur is always males, and the nasi is usually a female, but is usually a male, but sometimes a female. Yeah.
Sometimes a female
for nasi is
white.
Is if he worshipped Avodah Zarah.
So
let's go through then. So mala yochid shakol korban in a keva. So how do you compare? A yochid, all of his korbanos are female, as opposed to the nasi, who usually brings a male, and opposed to the tzibur, who always brings a male. And by the way, Mephoshim points out, what's the kula in bringing a female, that we would say, therefore, that we say there's a difference in that. Right. And then the answer is, because female animals are much more common than males. People breed females a lot more because they need them in order to have the next generation over the next generation of flocks. They don't keep around males that much. They cull them because after the breeding season, they don't really need them. So, okay. So in other words, basically, a yochid korban is cheaper, therefore. So you can't learn from the yochid only. Nichtiv gabi nasi v'nesi hanach minasi. Should we say that it would have had to say this thing of yediya only by the nasi, and we would learn the yochid and the tzibur from the nasi? Can't. Yochid minasi loyasi. We can't learn the yochid from the nasi. The ikkala mifrach, because if we tried to, we would slog it up. Mala nasi shekein ein b'shmias koil. You can say a nasi is different than a yochid, that the din of shmias koil doesn't apply to him. The din of shvuasa edus, where somebody says to him, you know such and such ages for me, come testify for me in Beis Din, and he swears that he doesn't know the ages, that's sure the ages. The king is not subject to that because, as it says in the Sanhedrin, a melech is not called to Beis Din as a witness. Melech lo don b'lo donin, lo meid b'lo meidin, I say. So therefore, so shavuot the ages doesn't apply to a king. So he's different than a yochid in that regard. And
so you couldn't
infer the yochid from the nasi. How do you compare it to a yochid who does have that? But sibur min nasi lo osi. Meanwhile, you can't learn the sibur from the nasi either. De ikala mifra, because if he tried to, he would slug it up. Mala nasi shekain the korban in a keva. The nasi sometimes brings a female animal as a korban, namely where there was avodah zara, as opposed to the sibur is always male. So we couldn't have learned it only from even avodah zara. So we couldn't have learned it from the yachid, again, because the yachid always brings females. We couldn't learn the yachid from the nasi because of shmiyat hakoil. We can't learn the tzibur from the nasi because they sometimes females versus always males.
Of what?
Of the carbon. Yeah, of the nasi.
The nasi?
Yeah, of the nasi, sometimes bring the female. Nichtiv,
the
tzibur, you can't learn the tzibur from the nasi, exactly.
Right.
Nichtev gabit sibur. Should we say that it should have said yediya by the sibur, v'nesi yochid v'nasi mina, and then we would try to learn the yochid and the nasi from the sibur? Can't. Ikalam yifrach, we would slog that up also. Malot sibur shekein in chayoven el al helam dovrim shekigaf naise. Because the sibur has a unique feature, not like the yochid and not like the nasi, where they're only chayav the korban, the par helam dover shal sibur, only if there was helam dover, that the Sanhedrin forgot what the halacha, misunderstood what the halacha was, and there was shekigaf naise. And then the people mistakenly went and followed them, as we learned in Horius that you have. In other words, in order for the sibur to be chayav collectively, it has to be, for example, that the Sanhedrin was master certain type of chaylev, and most of the people ate it, as opposed to the nasi and the individual, nothing like that. There doesn't have to be any halam dover. All there has to be is shigas nice. They ate a piece, and they didn't know that it was chaylev and it was also. So you can't deduce the yachid and the nasi from the sibur. Okay, so the Gemara says, mechad yadiyah le'asya. Fine. Granted, okay, we could. So therefore, in other words, the point of the question thus far is, it has to say yadiyah by each one of them individually, because we can't learn any one from any of the others. Therefore, what are you telling me? Therefore, what are you telling me, Reb Ze'era, that the reason why we say that a person has to bring his korban, even if he didn't find out about the Avera, Chalaki and Gipper, is because we learn from one of these ideas, but none of them are extra. We need each one of them for its context.
You cannot learn from
the other. Okay, so the Gemara says, fine, Mechad Yediyah Le'asya, fine, granted, you can't learn from all of them from one place where it says Yediyah, Kesi Chad Yediyah Mitharti. Let it say by two out of the three cases the word yediyah, and we would deduce the other one. So then we can still
we could
do a tzad hashava. That's what we're going to go through. We're going to go through the possibilities. But we have three sides of the triangle, so we'll try all three possibilities. But the point is, if we say that we can do that, if we can find two of them that it could have said it by, and we could learn the third one from it, then we can still salvage what Rav Zeira is saying. Then we have one of them as extra, and once it's extra, we can learn from it.
So far, we. So that we cannot learn.
We can't learn two of them. We can't learn any one of them from any one other one.
Right.
But maybe we can have it say by two of them, and we'll learn and apply it to the third one, right? And then that third, the fact that it says it by the third one, therefore is extra, and therefore we can use it for the Eiras Durasha.
Right.
Well, let's go through the possibilities. So loy nichtes, so the tesi chod yediyah mitarti. So loy nichtes yediyah gabe yochet, tesi chod yediyah mitarti. Let's learn one yediyah from two of them.
Right.
So let's go through the possibility. Loy nichtes yediyah gabe yochet. Should we say that it shouldn't have to say yediyah by the individual person's chatas, the tesi min nasi vitzibur, and we would try to learn it from a tzad hashava between the nasi and the tzibur.
And apply it to the
yachid. Can't. Ikal mifrach, we would slog that up. Mala nasi vitzibur shekein enin b'shmiyas koil. Because neither the nasi nor the tzibur are ever going to be chayav a korban for shmiyas koil. The nasi not, as we just said before, because a nasi is never called,
right.
Is never called to testify.
No,
right, right. And the tzibur is not the tzibur, right, it has to be the individuals that he's calling on, right? Toim of a yachid sheyesh nim b'shmiyas koil. So that wouldn't work. How do you compare to a yachid? Sheyesh nim b'shmiyas koil. Who does have shmiyas koil? Loy nichtiv krav yediyah gabit tzibur. Should we say then, okay, it didn't have to say yediyah by the tzibur. We would say we would learn it by a tzad hashava from the individual and the nasi. Can't. Because again, both of them sometimes bring a female. A yochid always, and a nasi if it was avodah zara. How do you compare it to the tzibur, which never brings a female? They always bring a male animal, which is again more expensive. So we can't do that one either. So we can do like this, though. Loy nichtiv gabi nasi, we can argue that it didn't have to say yediyah by the nasi, the tesim yediyah di yochid b'tzibur. We would learn it by a tzad hashava between the yochid and the tzibur. Because how would that work? My parchas, how would you think to slog that up? E mishum de enin b'shmiyas hakol. Are you going to argue that are you going to argue that the tzibur doesn't have shmiyat hakol, and ve'en chayav an ela al helam dover, and also that the tzibur has a feature that they require helam dover with shigas ma'isa, unlike the yochid?
Right.
You would say yochid yechiyah. Okay, prove it from the yochid. De'en of shmiyat hakol we take out, because the yochid does have shmiyat hakol, but the point is that the yochid does have those features. He has shmiyat hakol. He doesn't need helam dover. And therefore, in that sense, the Nasi is like, so the Nasi doesn't have Shmiyat HaKoyel, but at least as far as Helam Dover, the Nasi is like the Yochid in that regard. Are you going to say you can't learn the Nasi from the Yochid, because the Yochid, all of his Korbanos are females, as opposed to the Nasi usually brings males? Tzibur Yechiyach, well, we can prove back from the Tzibur. They're in the Korban in the Keva, where they never bring a Korban that's a female. So, so you could argue, therefore, that until they have Yediyah, they shouldn't be Chayev in the Korban. So, therefore, Lomali Dixiv Yediyah Gabe Nasi. So now that we have that, we could conceivably learn the Nasi from a Tzada Shava between the Yochid and the Tzibur. Well, then, why does it say by the Nasi? So we can say, we do a Tzada Shava. Try to learn it from the Yochid. You would say, you try to learn it from the Tzibur. You would say you can't because the Tzibur, needs Helam Dover, and they don't have Shmiyat HaKoyel. So you would say, okay, but the Yochid does have Shmiyat HaKoyel and doesn't have Helam Dover. You would say, but on the other hand, the Yochid always... on the other hand, the Yochid always brings a female. Okay, but the Tzibur never brings a female. Atzada Shavah Shebehem, that they both have Yediyah. And, yeah, and therefore we would apply it to the Nasi. Okay. So, that's how a Tzada Shava works. The point is that you have a Tzada Shava, you have something in common. Whatever applies to a Korban Sibur does not apply to a Korban Yochid, and vice versa. And yet, in both cases, any time they find out that they did the Aveda, even if Safi and Kibur, they're bringing the Korban, because it says, Oy Hoy Da'evav. So therefore, we could apply it to the Nasi. The Lomali Dechiv Yediyah Gabe Nasi. So why, in that case, does it have to say Yediyah by the Nasi if we could have learned it by a Tzada Shava from the other two? In Eini, in Yom Legufe, well then, if you don't need it for the goof, if you don't need it to tell us about the Nasi himself, Dehaakim Yochid Vitzibur, because after all, as we just said, you could learn it from the Yochid and the Tzibur combined, Tneu Inyan Lahishnim Isyad Le Bosa Yem Kiburim. Apply it to the case where, even if he only finds out after Yom Kippur, the Maisi Chasas, that even then he should have to bring a Chasas. And that would be how we'd learn that he brings a Chasas even after Yom Kippur.
Because you can learn from two to the third one,
and therefore if it says Yediyah by the third one, then we have it available. It's extra, and therefore we can use it. That even if he finds out after Yom Kippur, right? Abaya Omar, Abaya says not necessarily, not so fast. E like siv Yediyah gabe Nasi. Actually, no. If it didn't say Yediyah by the Nasi, mi Yochid b'tzibur loy osi, we actually wouldn't be able to learn it from a Tzad HaShava of the Yochid and the Tzibur. Mishum de'ikol mifrach, because you could still slog it up. Mal Yochid b'tzibur shekein ein asurin leishtanes. When it comes to the Yochid and when it comes to the Tzibur, their status never changes. Now, here it's not a matter of kula and chumra. All the previous ones that we were talking about, there's either a kula or a chumra involved. This din doesn't apply to them. They have to bring a more expensive korban or whatever. Here it's not a matter of kula and chumra, but Rashi brings from the Gemara and Chulin, which we learned that when it comes to a Tzada Shava, any kind of pircha, any kind of thing that you can find is not the same, is enough to shlug it up, even if it's not a matter of a kal or a chum. But therefore, so the Yochid and the Tzibur, their status never changes. The Yochid has to bring a female korban. He always, his whole life, whenever he does something that makes him chayav hakol, it's always going to be, this is a tzibur, is always going to be a male. Tomar b'nasi, how do you compare to the nasi, sha'osi l'ishtanis? No. Tomar b'nasi, sha'osi l'ishtanis. No, but you could say a nasi, his status could change in the sense that he could be deposed. Yeah, but a nasi could be, a king could be deposed. And if he's deposed, he becomes a hedyot. And if he becomes a hedyot, then he's bringing a hedyot's korban. So therefore, so unlike the yochid and the tzibur. Now, Shittim Kubetis asks the obvious question. I mean, you could say the reverse. The yochid can also change, because the yochid can become a king. So Shittim Kubetis... But Shittim Kubetis says, fine, but the fact of the matter is that not all yechidim are able to become kings, because, for example,
well,
these are
kings are able to become yechidim also.
Any king can be deposed. There's nothing.
Any king doesn't necessarily...
They don't necessarily, but they could. It's possible for a king to be deposed at any time, as opposed to, for example, a mamzer, any other kind of apostle, women, for that matter, can never become kings. Yeah. So, yeah. Also, there's a difference...
Women can and not become a king?
Right. Yes, because it's pasuk says melech and not malka. But there's also another point. There's also another point that some of the Mephoshim make, which is
she
was a queen in Persia. She didn't have the halachic status of the queen. In terms of halacha, she wasn't ruling over the Jewish people specifically. The point is, there's a different explanation that some of the Mephoshim say like this. We learned in Hodias, suppose, for example, the king does an Avera while he's a king, and then he gets deposed, then he brings the korban of a king. But if he did the Avera before he was appointed, then he continues to bring the korban of a hedyot. Mm-hmm. So you have, in other words, like there can be that change. There can be that change like that. So
Isabella was not a queen.
Isabel, again, she was the wife of Ahab. She had queenly powers, but you have to distinguish between the actual powers de facto that a person has versus de jure. What status does a person have in halacha? As far as halacha is concerned, she's like any other commoner. If she did an aveda b'shogeg, she would be bringing the same korban as anybody else. If her husband Ahab required to bring a korban, then he would bring right.
He would bring a korban of a nasi.
So therefore, Sabaya says that you can't learn the Nasi from the other two. So we're back to, we don't have any extra Hoya. So where are you learning from that? If Yom Kippur passed and only then he found out the Aveda, then he's bringing the carbon.
You cannot learn.
You can't learn the Nasi from the other two, because we said the Nasi is likely to change status. The Nasi could well change status. The Yochan that said we're done. Ela Amar Abaya Mehocha. Sabaya says, here's where we learn from. Mechti mitzvah mitzvah yalfi mehadavi. Let's consider. We actually have, there's another thing that it says by each one of them, the Yochid and the Nasi and the Tzibur. It says by each one of them that they were over on one of the mitzvahs. It says the word mitzvahs in the Pasuk. And that's a Zeta Shava that teaches us that the same criteria apply to all of them, all three of them, the Yochid, the Nasi, and the Tzibur. In order to be hired for their korban, it has to be something that the Mezid would be Kodesh. So therefore, so Yalfi Mahadadi, we're already learning with that Zeta Shava of mitzvahs one from another. Kiven the Yalfi Mahadadi, Lomeli Dechtiv Shalosh Yediyas, Gabi Yochid, Gabi Nasi, Gabi Tzibur. So then if we're already learning the dinim from one to the other by means of the Zeta Shava of mitzvahs, then why do we need to say... We have a Gzera Shava. By each one of them, it says mitzvot, and from that we learn that the same criteria apply to all of them. A Nasi is bringing a korban only if he was over on something that would be chayiv koris to make it. The Yochid, the same thing. The Tzibur is only bringing the power helam davashal Tzibur if the Beis Din's psak, which the people followed, was something that would be chayiv koris to make it. So we're learning that from the Gzera Shava mitzvot. Right. So kiven the yalfi ma'adadi, as long as we're already learning one from another, from the Gzera Shava, mitzvah, lomali dechtiv shalosh yediyas, gabi nos, gabi yochid, gabi nos, gabi tzibur. In that case, says Abaya, so why should it have to say the word yediyah by each one of them? It could just say by one of them. Before we were saying we needed it to say by each one, because otherwise we can't have a mamafinu. But now that we realize we actually don't just have a mamafinu, we have a Gzera Shava, well then we should be able to use the Gzera Shava. Of course you can make a Gzera Shava and Kachim. You can't do lomid min alomid, but yeah. Half of Kodshin involves Gzera Shava. What are you talking about? You can't do Lomid Min Alomid. If you learn something from one of the Limudim, then you can't necessarily learn something else from that. We have the whole story about that in Zvachin. But of course, half of Kodshin involves Gzera Shava. So therefore, in Eina Inyan Legufehem, so therefore, says Abaya, it can't mean just to teach us the basic din, Legufei, for the actual context over there, that he brings the korban when he finds out that he did the Avera, Dagami Lahan mitzvahs, because after all, once we have the Zeta Shava mitzvahs, it could have said it by one of them and we apply it to the other. Tineo Inyan, the Hechidim is the Adelaide. Yeah, Tineo Inyan, the Hechidim is the Adelaide, Bosa Yemekaburimhu, the Maisi Chatos. Then we can use it to teach us this concept that even if he finds that after Yom Kippur, he's still bringing a Chatos. Okay.
Because we have two, because we have them available.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. The question is Ema, but still we can argue like this. Fine. So let's say then that, so fine. So we've established that if he only finds out after Yom Kippur that he ate chaylev, let's say, then he's bringing a chatas. We said, Mishum di Yom Kippurim, labal hadein chet ka'osi. Because we're saying, fine, because Yom Kippur did not come to Yom Kippur. You could argue like this. Yom Kippur is not coming only regarding this chet. Yom Kippur comes to everybody. So you could argue, therefore, fine, that Yom Kippur is not unique to his chet. So therefore, you can say that therefore it's not good enough to take away the requirement for him to bring the event, to bring the carbon. Aval Oshem Toleri, but you could argue with an Oshem Toleri, which was the original topic of our Suya, Da'al Hodein Chet Kasi. After all, the Oshem Toleri is being brought specifically for the particular Avera. Eima hochi nami de mechaper, maybe it should be mechaper in the sense, the chinas yada lavosa, the kamaisi osham tolui, that if later on, after Yom Kippur, he finds out that at later on, after he had brought the osham tolui, boy maisi chafas, that he shouldn't have to bring the chafas. In other words, like this. We established in the Mishnah that if the person didn't bring the osham tolui before Yom Kippur, he doesn't have to bring it after Yom Kippur. But we also established before that really an Oshem Tolui is not the end of the situation. If he ever finds out that what he ate was actually Chelev and not Shulman, then he's bringing a Chatas. So now the question is why? Maybe we should say that, let's say he did bring the Oshem Tolui before Yom Kippur. Then after Yom Kippur, they find the other piece and it turns out to be Shulman, and therefore now he knows he ate Chelev. He shouldn't have to bring the Chatas. After all, he already brought a Korban and Oshem Tolui specifically. No, we didn't discuss this point yet. No, we didn't. We discussed the point. Rebbe Eliezer had pointed out. We had in the previous Mishnah that Rebbe Eliezer had pointed out. Once he's bringing an Oshem Tolui, why should he have to bring a Chatas for the same thing again? Therefore, that implies he says that an Oshem Tolui must be a Nedava, and the Chachamim disagree with that. But now the Gemara is bringing up another point. If we're saying that Yom Kippur is able to be mechaper to a certain extent, and therefore, for example, for an Oshem Tolui. So maybe we should argue that Yom Kippur also has the ability. Maybe we could say, fine, if the person didn't bring a korban yet, then you're making him bring it after Yom Kippur, and there's a logical reason for that, because you could say Yom Kippur is not specifically targeted at his aveira. It's a general thing, so you can argue a generic thing, like Yom Kippur can't be mechaper for his specific aveira, and he has to bring the korban. But if he already brought a korban specifically targeted to his aveira, namely the Oshem Tolui, plus Yom Kippur has passed, why are we now making him bring a second korban if after Yom Kippur he first finds out that what he ate was chelev? The answer is Omar Rabba.
He said that the Oshem Tolui is not really a korban. In case...
Well, that's going to hold on. Omar Rabba, Omar Kross. So Rabba says the reason is because the Pasuk says, Oy hoida elef mikomokim. After all, the Pasuk says, if when he finds out, meaning regardless, when he finds out, he has to bring the korban, period. I brought an Oshem Tolui, and I Yom Kippur passed. Doesn't matter. That doesn't help. So that's what it means. Oy hoida elef mikomokim. Okay. So the question is, well, if you're saying then that if he finds out later on and he has to bring a chatas, then you have to ask anyway, Oshem Tolui, lam and ba, then why is he even bothering to bring an Oshem Tolui in the first place? Let him not bring anything. He'll bring the chatas when he eventually... Amar Rav Zera, she imnes mes below oven. So Rav Zera says the purpose of it is, this way if he dies, he'll at least die without the Avera. The Avera will have been forgiven with the Oshem Tolui
if there's an Avera,
yeah. Maskip Lord Rava. So Rava said, Rava asked on that, what do you mean? What does he need a korban for that? If he's dying, miss him, Mamarakis. His dying itself is completely cleans up his Avera. Mamarakis means cleans up. Why should he need an Oshem Tolui for that? Ella, Omar Rava, Lahogin, Olav, Minyan, Sturin. So Rava says, like we said before, right, the purpose of the Oshem Tolui is between now and Yom Kippur, it protects him from Yisurin.
So it's the day after Yom Kippur.
If it's the day after Yom Kippur, he's not going to. We said even in Bava Ben Vosa, we said that he can't bring it the day after Yom Kippur. If he does that, then he's bringing it right after, right, because then he has a whole year. But even whenever, yeah. Okay. All right. Then we said in the Mishnah, the bottom line is that we've clarified and we've derived what we learned in our Mishnah, that a person is chai of a chatas or an osham, they have to bring it even after Yom Kippur, but a person was chai of an osham, totally they don't have to bring it after Yom Kippur. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, chatas o'i pa'ba'al astafik chula, we said a person, a woman or anybody who has to bring chatas o'i pa'al astafik, so we said, that what do we say in the Mishnah? We said that if nothing to do with Yom Kippur, we said chatas if a bala suffix, if after they did the melicha, they found out what the true situation was, then we said you have to bury it. So let's analyze that. Omar Rav the Kippur. So Rav says that when the Mishnah had said the Mishnah had said chatas if a bala suffix. And then if after the Malika they found out, then you have to bury it. So Rav is saying it was Mechaper. Yeah, the korban was Mechaper for the person who needed in other words, they don't have to bring another korban.
Definitively?
Well, the question is, it was a suffix, but the point is, we don't say that they should have to bring another korban. When we say Vinoida, remember, Vinoida can also mean she found out that she actually was higher than the korban. Remember, she brought it for a suffix in the first place. She miscarried. She's not sure if it's something that makes her chayiv in a carbon or not. Now, after they did the malika, they found out, yes, in fact, it was the kind of baby that the kind of fetus that would... So she doesn't have to bring another one. Rav is saying it was machaper. So the question is, Yehochi Amayti Kover. In that case, if it was machaper, why do you have to bury it? The Kohenim should be able to eat it then.
If it was machaper, yeah.
The answer is Lepisha Enim Mishtameris. The reason is because it wasn't watched the whole time by the Kohenim. Since it was brought for a suffix, and they figured they're not going to be eating it, they weren't careful to watch it. So therefore, there was Hesach Hadas.
So what happened to it?
Why
did they
leave it? Okay, one second. We're going to work it out. But we know a concept that if kodshim are left unattended, if meat of kodshim that is left unattended, now we're not talking about a live animal, a live bird, because living creatures can never become tummy. But we're talking about if after the shechita or after the malika, some of the meat was left unattended, then we assume it to be tummy because it may have become tummy without anybody realizing. That is why we have to bury it in case it became tummy. So the question is, what do you mean? At what point was there when they weren't watching it? Ime ikra, you're talking about before they did the malika. Chaya havia, at that point is alive, and a living bird can't become tummy. So it doesn't matter whether they were watching it. Eel of a soif, if you're talking about after the malika, komintola, they are watching it because you don't have very much time. After the malika, the whole process, keep in mind, we learned in Zvachim, the whole process of a chatat ha'oif is very short. They do the malika. They squeeze the blood onto the they squish the blood onto the wall of the mizbeach, and then that's that. So there's not really a lot of time there. It's not like with an animal they have to do kabbalah and they have to walk it over to the mizbeach, et cetera. By it's a very short term thing. So when is there going to be that? There was a hesach hadas. Now, ela masnisin b'noydala deloyo. No, so we have to answer like this. We thought the Mishnah meant noidala, meant that we found out that she did give birth to something that made her chayiv in a carbon. Now we're saying no. The Mishnah is talking about where she found out that she didn't have to bring the carbon. Therefore, she didn't have to bring the carbon in the first place. Uvedinhu demuteres bahana. In principle, therefore, this dead bird that they did malika should be muter bahana, because it's chulin, after all. It was never meant to be a carbon. Rashi says, what about chulin shenishchatu ba'azara? Rashi says here and in a number of other places, that only applies when it was shechted. Here it's not shechted, it's the malika. That's a different category. Well, Rashi holds that way. Not all the Rishonim agree with that. The Rambam, I think, holds that it would be also bahana. But on the other hand, there's also a machlokes Rishonim whether chul and shenishka to ba'azara are also anyway deraita or derabanan. If we say it's only also derabanan, then anyway the whole concept only applies derabanan. Anyway, the point is that. So really it should be mutabhana or mighty cover midirabanan. So why do we say we have to bury it? Midirabanan, because otherwise people are gonna think that you can have hana from a regular chatasoi kabal or something. They're not gonna realize the situation over here where now she found out she didn't have to bring it in the first place. Okay.
So just for people not to confuse.
Right. So the chi itmar de rav. So therefore, when Rav says the chipper, it can't be referring to the case of our Mishnah, because it's not gonna be machaper for that she didn't have to bring the carbon in the first place. The chi itmar de rav, so rather, Rav's statement was said in a different context. Al ha'isha she'evi achata sa'if b'sofik, where we had a Mishnah in the previous parak that said...
What was the statement of Rav?
The statement of Rav was b'chifer, that the carbon was b'chifer. So Rav was talking about the following case that we learned in the previous parak. Al ha'isha she'evi achata sa'if b'sofik. Again, a woman had a case where she had to bring a chata sa'if because of a sofik. We said, im ad shalin nimlaka, if they find out the fact before they did the malika, no delosha yolda, vaday, if before they did the malika, she finds out that what she gave birth to was actually something that makes her chayiv in a korban, then te'osev vaday, then the korban, then the process of the korban, the malika and everything else, is done as a vaday, meaning, in other words, and therefore it's a full-fledged chatas ha'oif, and the kohenim are allowed to eat it, and so forth. And the reason why that works is shemimin, shehevia al-hoidam, evia al-hoidah. After all, it's the same kind of bird that she brings, whether she knows that she's chayev or whether it's a sophic, whether she's chayev. So it's not like you can say that if she finds out she should have to bring a different kind of korban. It's the same korban anyway, it's the same bird. Therefore, you can just as well switch it from one to the other, from sophic to vaday.
You
could do that with an animal as well if it's the same type of carbon. That's what we talked about there as far as Oshem Vadeg versus Oshem Tolery. We had a machlokes over there whether an Oshem Tolery can turn into an Oshem Vadeg given that it's the same type of animal. But the point is, over here with the bird, we definitely say that. And
what can we conclude over there?
We said over there we had a machlokes whether. Yeah. A couple days over days we talked about We had over there the case where a person is bringing an Oshem Tolu, and then he finds out he finds out afterwards that he didn't do the Aveira. So we said that actually, at the beginning of the fifth paragraph we had over there what do we say over there? He does continue bringing it as an Asham Tali because the whole thing was Libra Noikva. He brought it anyway because his conscience is bothering him or not. Yeah, anyway. But with a Chafasa, if a Bala Sopik, anyway. So the Mishnah had said over there again that if before the Malika she finds out that she had given birth, Vaday, then you make it as Vaday Korban because it's the same kind of animal, same kind of bird anyway. Im Mishnimlika Nodesha Yolda. So now comes the point. What about if she only finds out that she actually gave birth to something that makes her Chayev after it was Nimlak? Then Amar Rav Maza Dama, Rav says, nevertheless, you still sprinkle the blood, Umoitza Dama, and you still squeeze the blood onto the Mizbeach as usual, the Kipra. It did accomplish the Kapara. She only found out that she actually gave birth after, so something that makes her chayiv and a korban after the Malika. Doesn't matter, says Rav. Muteres Ba'achila, and the bird is even Muter Ba'achila. We treat it for all purposes as a chayiv. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan Omar Asur Ba'achila. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees and says, fine, it was Mechaper, but you still can't eat it. Gzeira Shema Yomru Chatas Oif HaBa'ala Sofik Ne'echelis. Because a Gzeira of the Chachamim, people might think that a Chatas Oif that comes for a Sofik is eaten, and they're not going to realize that here the Sofik was figured out. Okay, so the Gemara says, Tanya, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it is Mechaper. So both Rab and Rabbi Yochanan agree that it is Mechaper. The halacha, usually when you have Rav against Rabbi Yechanan, usually the halacha is like Rabbi Yechanan. So therefore that would mean that's also Bachelet.
That's a Bachelet.
So Tony Levi Kavasei the Rav, Levi taught a Braisa like Rav's opinion, that says, Chata Sa'ofa Ba'ala Sofik, Im Shinimlaka Noda Shayolda, Vadai, if after the Malika she found out that what she gave birth to is something that makes her Vadai Chayiv in the Korban, Maza Dama, you go ahead and sprinkle the blood, Umoitza Dama, you squeeze out the blood, as we learned in Zvachim, with a Chata Sa'ofa, you have a two-part thing over there, pressing it against the wall of the Mizbeach, and you have Mitzuya. The Kipra, and it's Mechaper, Muteres Ba'achila, and it's Mutter to eat, so that's like Rav. Tanya Kava said Rabbi Yochanan, and then we also have a Braisa like Rabbi Yochanan. Chata Sa'ofa Ba'ala Sofik, Imajla Nimlaka Nodala Shala Yolda, if before the Malika she finds out that she hadn't, that what she gave birth is not something that made Suchayev, Ketzel Cholin, then the bird becomes completely Cholin, because it was Hektish toes, it was, the Hektish was done on mistaken premises. Or another possibility, she could sell the bird to another woman who needs the bird for a carbon.
This is
a braisa supporting what Rabbi Yochanan says, but we haven't gotten to Rabbi Yochanan's point. Im adshel nimlaka nodala sheyolda vaday, if before the malika she finds out that it was a vaday birth, te'ose vaday, then as we said before, you continue to do it vaday, shemimin shemavia aloi hoda mavia al hoda, because after all, it's the same kind of min, so there's no reason that one can't substitute for the other. Im shenimlaka nodala sheyolda, but if they find out only after the malika that what she gave birth to is something that makes her chayev, asura afila ba'ana, so here the second braisa goes like Rabbi Yochanan, and says that the dead bird is also even behind. Oh, actually, we're missing a line over here in the Gemara. Shittim Kubetzis fills it in. If she finds out after Nimlaka that she gave birth, Mazeh, then you go and sprinkle the blood, you continue and you squeeze the blood onto the back. The Kipra, it is Mechaper, so far so good. But like Rav Yechanan said, Vasura Ba'achila, it's also to eat because of the Gzeira. But if he actually squeezed out the blood onto the Mizbeach, and then they found out that she gave birth, then Asura Afila Bahana. Then the bird is also Bahana, Shava Sofik Ba Mitchilosa, because after all it was brought to begin with because of the Sofik, whether she had given birth. So good, Kipra Sveika Bahokala, so that it was Mechaper for the Sofik. It's considered, in other words, that she didn't know, because there she only found out after the Mitzui. They, of course, so that's it. At that point, it already accomplished what it needs to do, and it's like any Chata Sa'oifa Ba'ala Sofik, and any Chata Sa'oifa Ba'ala Sofik is not eaten and is also Bahana, because it was brought as carbon.
That's the point.
So that second Braisa, specifically when it says that if she found out after the Malika, but before the Mitzri, that we said it is Mechaper, but she has to, but it is Mechaper, but we're not eating it. That would be like Rabbi Yochanan, who says that there's a Zera that we shouldn't eat. But this that we're saying, but still though, this that we're saying in the Mishnah that you would bury it. Now we learned at the end of Tzmura, Machlokes, between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether a Chakas or a Baal or something is buried or burnt. our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yehuda. The halacha is not like that. The halacha is that it's buried. That's buried. Rabbi Yehuda said actually you break it up into pieces and put it into the ammo, whatever, and it gets buried in an apple kidron. The Chum disagrees and say that's burnt and that's the halacha.
What did we say about that?
He said that that's it. We have a machlokas about the chafas of all the
stuff.
Because you have the Chum held with like chul and chenishka to bazara, and they held chul and chenishka to bazara are burnt, and then Rabbi Yehuda held them. Okay. So, now like this. Of these six types of asham, four of them have to be rams, meaning that the animal is above 13 months old. And all those four, as we learned a few days ago, we have a gzera shava from one to the other, but they all have to be worth at least two slaim. So let's talk about that. You asked me the other day what happens if they're worth less. Now we're going to start talking about that. So the Mishnah says, Hamakush beis sloim l'asham. Suppose a person designated two sloim to bring his asham. He has to bring an asham zelos, asham me'elos, or whatever. It has to be worth at least two sloim.
He separated two sloim.
The lokach ben shnei elim l'asham. Suppose he was able to use that money to buy two rams for an asham. So now you have a problem because they have to be worth each. A ram for an asham has to be worth two sloim by itself.
Each say it should have four.
Well, so right. So now how does it work? How did he manage to get two of them for the price of one? The Rambam understands that when we say it has to be worth two sloim, it's talking about it has to be worth two sloim at the time you mock with it. So conceivably, according to the Rambam, you could have when you bought them, prices were low, and you were able to buy two of them for two.
It could.
Like just like we had in the first paddock. There was a time when the price of birds was going way up. The Torah of Shimon Gamliel made his announcement and brought down the price.
It wasn't so long.
No, in one day the price has dropped to 1%. So the same thing. Because he said over there, because he had cases that a woman has to bring a chatas oif for a sofik, and then there were many such cases, and therefore that was driving up the price. Yeah. Anyway, the point is that, yes, so if you could have a person is makrish his asham now, he's makrish it 6 months from now, the next time he's over the regular, let's say, and meanwhile, the prices have gone up. Most of the other Rishonim don't learn like that. They learn that it means it has to be worth two at the time you buy it. So they would understand no omission, just that the guy who sold him the animals gave him a discount. He gave him two for the price of one.
Yeah.
Why? Well, that's a great problem. So what do? Im hoya echemen yofesh shtei sloim, if one of those animals is actually worth two sloim, meaning according to the Rambam, when he comes to be makrivit, the price has gone up and now it's worth two sloim. According to everybody else, it would mean that the actual regular market value of it is two sloim, and it's just he bought it at a discount, then you could have l'ashamay. Good, he can bring that one as an asham because it is worth two sloim.
What it's worth.
Vasheni, what do we do with the second one? Yira adji yistoy. After all, he bought it with money that he had designated for an asham, so he has to leave it to graze until it develops a mum. V'yimacher, and then you sell it. V'yifludamos on a dava, and the money of it goes to the dava boxes in the Beis Hamikdash, which go for oilers for the city. Right. Until it has a mum. Right. After that. Lokach ben shnei elam l'chulin. Now let's talk about what if he used that money that he used it to buy two rams for chulin, meaning that he was going to shech these animals and eat them. So now he committed me'ilah. Now he had previously done shivcha harufa. So now he's chayev in an asham that's worth two sloim.
Right.
So he designated two sloim, and now he ended up taking those two sloim and buying two rams with them, not for a korban, but to shech them and eat them. So he did Mila. So what does he do now? Suppose Echad Yofa Beis Sloim V'Echad Yofa Asor Azuz. Suppose that it turns out that the two rams, one of them is worth two Sloim and one of them is worth 10 Zuz. 10 Zuz is 2.5 Sloim. Because there are four. A Zuz is equal to a dinner, which is 1/4 of a sella. So what
Zuz is the fourth of a sella.
Yeah. So therefore 10 Zuz equals 2.5 Sloim.
A
Zuz is a dinner, yeah. So what happens is, therefore, Hayyaka Shtei Sloyim Yikrav Lashom, right? So therefore, what he does is like this. The one that's worth two Sloyim, he uses it for his original Asham, for his Asham Shifra Harufa, let's say. So that's actually worth two Sloyim, and it's worth two Sloyim. Vasheni Lemi'i Losa. The second one, meanwhile, he's going to use for his Me'ila, because he misused two Sloyim of Hekish money. Therefore, he has to pay 2 plus an extra 25%, Keren B'Choymesh, a Choymesh of 2 Sloyim equals 2 Zuzin. So therefore, the 10 equals the entire amount. So that's what he does, therefore.
A Choymesh is 25%,
right, Choymesh Melavak. So therefore, what he does is, the first one, so Rashi explains what it is like this. He's going to have to pay He still has to bring his original Osham. He also has to bring an Asham Me'ilois, and he also has to pay for his Me'ilah. So therefore, what he can do is, he takes the one that's worth two Sloyim, brings it as the Asham Me'ilois. The other one he brings, the other one he brings for his Me'ilah, which Rashi says, the Gemara is going to explain, means he brings it as the first Osham. And therefore, what he accomplished is that now, by bringing that one as an Osham, he took care of his Me'ilah, because it's worth more. It's worth 25% more than he was supposed to give. The first one, which is worth two Sloyim, he brings as the Asham Me'ilah. That takes care of the Me'ilah. Remember, at this point, he has three things on him. He has the original Osham that he was supposed to bring, let's say for Shifcha Harufa. He has the fact that he has to pay Hektish for the Me'ilah, Keren Nechoymesh, and there's the fact that he has to bring an Asham Me'ilah. So Rashi learns that what it means is, when he brings the one that's worth two Sloyim as an Osham, that takes care of the Asham Me'ilah. Then when he brings the one that's worth 2.5 Sloyim as his original carbon, because remember, he was supposed to use this money in the first place to buy an animal for his original carbon, for his Asham Shifcha Harufa, then at that point, by doing that, he's accomplished both. He's brought his Asham Shifcha Harufa, and he's also paid off his Asham Me'ilah, that's the other animal, but he's paid off the Me'ilah, he's paid off the Keren B'chomesh that he needed to give to him.
By doing what?
By bringing the animal, it's worth 10 Zuzim as a carbon. Right. So he's killing two birds with one stone over there. He's bringing his Asham Shifcha Harufa, and at the same time, the fact that he brought that animal, which is worth 10 Zuz as a carbon, he's also taking care of the actual payment for Me'ilah that he has to do to him.
On the same animal?
On the same animal. Meanwhile, the other animal is the Asham Me'ilah. So he has two things that he's taken care of with one of them, and one that he took care of with the other one. Echad l'osham ve'echad l'cholin. Now, what about if when he used the original two sloyim, he bought two animals with them, one that he meant for his osham, for his asham shifcha harufa, and the other one that he bought for cholin. So now what happens is he was moyo with half of the money. So therefore... because the cholin he committed me'ilah on. The other one, that he bought one for a korban, good, that's what he's supposed to do with the money,
right.
That he bought the other one for cholin, that was me'ilah. So he did me'ilah with half the money. So therefore, im hoya shal osham yofa shtei sloyim, if the one that he bought for an osham is worth two sloyim, again, because the guy gave him a discount, or according to the Rambam, because at the time he bought it, it was worth one seller, and now the price went up, and it's worth two. Yikrav la'ashamay, then good, he brings that one as the asham. V'asheni l'milah. So the other animal he can use for his asham me'ilas, v'yavi'ima, seller b'chomsha, along with that, he has to bring, an extra seller and a chomish, because he has to still pay for the keren that he misused, and he has to still have to pay for the keren that he misused, and the chomish. Now over here, that money, it actually says, goes to Nedava, because Moiso Osham, because leftover money that was supposed to have been used for an Osham. And the usual rule is Moiso Osham, as we learned in Temura, goes to Nedava.
For the bite.
Goes to Nedava for Oilos of the Sibra, for Kaitam Azach. Yeah, I mean, the truth is it's not actually so simple over here, because Shittim HaKubetzis brings from Tosfos over here that it's not so simple. I mean, on the face of it, and in the first case, it comes out, if we do like that, it comes out in the first case, he's getting off easier, because both animals together, he's accomplished everything that he needs to for everything, whereas in the second case, it was only Moyle with half the money, and you're making him bring extra money. So why in the first case is it easier? Is it easier than the second case? Shittim HaKubetzis brings from a Tosfos that says that after all the difference is at least in the second case he did buy one of them for the Asham Shifcha Harufa that he was chayav in. So that's the idea. In other words, they also learn. That the word la'ashama in the different parts of the Mishnah has different meanings. In one part of the Mishnah, the word ashama means the original asham shifcha harufa that he was supposed to bring, and in the other one, and in the first case of the Mishnah, ashama means the asham me'ilos. So there's a difference in that regard also. But the fact is, in the second case, in the last case, he bought one of them for the asham shifcha harufa, and only so he only misused half the money. But so and in the first case, the difference is like this. In the first case, when he brought them both cholin, he could use either one for his asham shifah harufa and whichever one he wants for his asham me'ilah. So therefore, he's better off using. So it's true, he could do it the other way. He could, of course, use the more expensive animal for his asham me'ilah. But if he does that, yeah, he's gonna have to pay out of pocket the difference for the other one. But like this, he manages to gain that way because he has two animals, which either one can be brought for either one. As opposed to the second case, yes, he only did me'ilah with half the money, but when he bought the animal, he designated it for his asham shifa harufa. So it has to become the asham shifa harufa, no matter how much it's worth. Therefore, he winds up having to pay out of pocket in order to make up for the me'ilah, right? Okay.